Last week we dealt with part two of our sermon series, Grateful. And today we are going to continue on in this series entitled Grateful, but we are going to finish up part two of Grateful for His Rest. And last week we came from the book of Psalms 62, and today, God willing, we are going to finish this sermon in Psalms 62. The first truth that we dealt with is that God's nature is such that we find true rest in Him. God's nature is such that we find true rest in Him. And it's deep because all over the world, everybody's looking for peace. All over the world, everybody's looking for rest. You see it on social media sites all over. Everybody is going through. People are operating with no hope. Stress got folks so tied up they can't even sleep at night. And what's heartbreaking about this is that they don't have to be without rest. I've spent my entire ministry trying to explain the Word of God in such a way that everyone who hears it never operates in a victim spirit again. I have spent my ministry trying to explain to the saints of God that in Him, when you are truly in Him, when you abide in Him, you abide in rest. The second truth that David brings out in this psalm is that you cannot find true rest apart from God. So peep the energy. The first truth is his nature is in such a way that in Him is rest. But the second truth of the psalm is that, but apart from Him, you can't have rest. This is deep. David brings this truth out in a number of ways. First of all, there is his repetition of the word alone. Four times in the psalm, David emphasizes God alone. Verse 1, my soul finds rest in God alone. Verse 2, He alone is my rock and my salvation. Verse 5, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. Verse number 6, He alone is my rock and my salvation. But David also brings out this truth by pointing us away from those things that we often trust instead of God. David speaks of three things specifically that will not bring rest for your soul. I want y'all to tap into this because here is the hit. I'm going to tell y'all something, man. It wasn't until I sat in a jail cell, Sunni Muslim, imam, Islamic preacher on the yard. Anytime that I went to a prison, they would vote me the Islamic preacher of the yard. But it wasn't until this last time, facing all this time, that I had this encounter with Jesus. And I want you to catch what happened, right? Like, so my soul was troubled. My mind was perturbed. I was perplexed. I was just constantly going through it. If it wasn't for the fact that I was facing 20 to life in one city and 10 flat in another city, and then if it wasn't for the for my wife had died a couple of years prior to me getting arrested. If it wasn't that I had my babies spread out amongst houses in the city because I didn't handle my business right as a man. If it wasn't for this, and if it wasn't for that, and the female that I was with was spending all my money, and the other female that I was with went back to getting high. And there was no peace in my mind. And no matter how I would Allahu Akbar Barakatu, none of that would bring me peace. No matter how I was Salaamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh, none of that would bring me peace. No matter how I talked about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, none of that would bring me peace. It wasn't until I begin to read the word of God. Beloved, hear me. I want you to hear me here, because some of you are trying to figure out, how do I get out of this mess that I am? How do I get out of this ditch that I find myself constantly stuck in? And I want you to know, it ain't got nothing. You can't do it on your own, and you can't do it without God. And any time that you find yourself outside of the ditch, outside of God, you will always find yourself back in the ditch. He speaks of three things specifically that will not bring rest for your soul. First of all, trusting in self will not bring rest for your soul. Look at verse number 3. David writes, "How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down this leaning wall, this tottering fence?" David is being attacked. And not only is David being attacked, David is outnumbered. And he knows that he cannot trust himself for the victory. He is weak. And he calls himself a leaning wall, a tottering fence. See, I love what Paul said. He said, "I prayed thrice for you to take this affliction away from me, but God said, my grace is sufficient for you." And he says something that was crazy. He says, "Because when you are weak, my strength is perfected in you." Lord, have mercy. So it is power in understanding that I ain't got all the answers. There is a power in understanding that, to be quite honest, I ain't got none of the answers. And the only answer that I do got is God. That's the only answer I got. God. Now, here is the problem. God, I hear you, Holy Ghost. Here is the problem with folk trying to walk this walk. We're still trying to walk this walk and some of the walk of our flesh. We're trying to walk this walk and still lightweight do us. We're casting most of our cares upon God, because we heard somewhere in the Bible that said that he cares about us. But he didn't say cast most of your cares. He said cast all of your cares. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." And so the problem is not that the Bible doesn't work. The problem is not that you're not going to a church that's biblically fit. The problem is we have yet to decide to take on the mind of Christ in totality so that we can operate in the victory that he has for us. I want you to catch that, beloved. It's some of you in here right now today that really needs to tap into the fact that halfway Christianity ain't Christianity at all. Almost Jesus ain't Jesus at all. And here's the deal. Jesus don't make deals. You understand what I'm saying to you? So you can't, well, at least I stopped doing this, and at least I stopped doing that, and at least I don't do this that much no more. And he said, with your whole heart, you will worship me. With your whole heart. Not with 97% of your heart, but with your whole heart. You will worship me. And some of us have a problem with that because a part of our heart is on the other side of town. Lord have mercy. A part of our heart is in you know, in the hands of something human. A part of our heart is in our 401 or in our retirement plan. A part of our heart is somewhere other than with Jesus. So self will never bring rest to your soul. The word he uses for fence here, it often refers to a stone wall made from loosed field stones that's piled up without any mortar or, you know, holding them together. And so that's all we are compared to God. Just some loose field stones piled up. Nothing, no mortar, and you know, mortar makes it stick. Mortar makes it hold. And we're just loosely built. Stone walls easily pushed over, easily collapsed. And some of you say, well, that ain't me. But how many of you, if you just be honest with yourself, can say, I can get some bad news and it mess up my whole week? I can get some bad news and forget all about salvation. You ever have some don't go the way you want it to go? And you get so upset about the fact that it didn't go down the way you wanted it to, that you forgot that he saved you, that you forgot that he delivered you. See, that's how joy stays in play, when you always are able to think about, but he saved me. See, when you think about where you were and where you were headed, see, it begins to outweigh what you're going through. You understand what I'm saying to you? I tell this story all the time. It was a time I wanted this car. Oh, my God, I wanted this car. And I couldn't get the car, right? And I caught a whole chip. I ain't speaking to nobody in a 10-mile radius. And I'm mad. And I even had the audacity to take it to God. You know I wanted that car. Yeah, I'm a car guy, you know. You know I wanted that car. And Holy Spirit said something that blew my mind. Sonia, he said, when did just being free stop being enough? Because you ain't even supposed to be home. When did deliverance stop being enough? When did a car take the place of what I done? When did a car become bigger than me freeing you, not just physically from a prison, but mentally and emotionally? When did that become more than me? You see what I'm saying to you? So we're easily pushed over, easily collapsed. Now compare that to God, who is a mighty rock and fortress who cannot be moved. Trusting in yourself will not bring you rest for your soul. Trusting in overtime will not bring rest for your soul. Secondly, trusting in other people. Trusting in other people will not bring you rest for your soul. Huh?
David tells us that a great number of men, have come and attacked him. Their assault is relentless, and David cries out, "How long?" Speaking of himself in verse number 4, he says, they fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. They seek to remove David from his lofty place. That is his rightful place of dignity and honor as king. They take delight in their lies. They act hypocritically towards him. They pretend to bless him, but in their hearts they curse. You ever know some people like that? Will sit up all day with you, smoke weed, drink with you, and then when you leave, talk all about you. You ever be a blessing to somebody just to realize, come to find out they was a curse to you? How many times have you trusted man? Your best friend, just to be let down. How many times have you put your trust in a human and find yourself in worse shape than you was before you put that trust into that human? You can't get no rest from somebody else. In verse number 9, David speaks of both common men and men of nobility. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. That's powerful. See, so can I talk to the single people in here? So when you letting sexy Dex blow your mind or thick Shonda put you through it, they are nothing, and together, they are only a breath. Just a vapor. Yeah. But one day I'm going to teach a single seminar. I am. I'm a teach one because, boy, I got a lot of stuff to say. You hear me? I'm talking about I will wolf-proof you. I will player-proof you. I will dog-proof you. You won't be a victim to any of that. You understand what I'm saying? The wolf, the player, or the dog. You won't. I'm talking about they won't even like to be in your existence. You understand what I'm saying to you? I tell all the secrets. John said, do it, Pastor. David said, low-born men. Y'all do need it. Do need it. Let me tell you something. It would profit you to have a person with a background as colorful as mine when it comes to the female origin that loves you enough to tell you all the secrets. Lord have mercy. Somebody said bring the youth back. Amen. Listen, David said, low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing, and together they are only a breath. Now, there's a word play here in Hebrew. The low-born men are literally the sons of Adam. And the word for breath is the word Abel, as in Cain and Abel, the name of Adam's son. The word Abel means breath or vanity. And so David says the sons of Adam are Abel. They are nothing but a breath. They are here today and gone tomorrow. And the highborn, he says, they are a lie. The highborn think that they are superior to others, but there is no advantage before God from birth or rank or high position.
So David says, if weighed on a balance, do I got a towel? David says, if weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Thank you. She brought me a towel and a plate. I thought she was giving me something to eat. Wow. All right. Get a church fan. She's over here fanning with a paper plate. Girl, we own internet. You make us look bad. David says, if weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Thank you, Usher. Nellie comes through. She said, give me a paper plate. I heard paper plate. Jesus. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. And get this, together they are only a breath. David literally says, when you put them on a scale, they go up. They are so much, they are so much hot air that they are less than weight. Psalm 146, verse number 3 says, do not put your trust in princes or mortal men who cannot save. Huh? He said, don't put your trust in somebody that can't save you. Ghetto theologian DMX once said on a Breakfast Club interview, he said, I trust everybody. He said, I trust who they show me they are. Amen. And here's the problem. Here's the problem with the 21st century westernized church is the Christians don't trust what they see. Huh? You showed me you wasn't no good. I didn't trust it. You showed me you were selfish and self-absorbed, but I didn't trust it. You showed me that truly my heart wasn't in your best interest, but I didn't trust it. Somehow, some way, with everything you showed me, I thought I could show you something better that would in turn make you treat me like you're supposed to. I'm already in this conference. You hear me? Listen. Do not put your trust in mortal men. You know why you can't put your trust in mortal men? Because they're mortals. We just human. You understand what I'm saying to you? So when you get to the point to where if somebody offends you, that blows your mind, then the reality was because you had the wrong outlook on that person. You had that person in a lofty place, in a high place. I have a saying that says, you give people the chance enough to be human long enough and they'll be human. And you can't be mad about that, right? Because we all are human. Sometimes. Amen. Jesus, watch this. Jesus would not trust himself to men because he knew what was in a man. Jesus knew that people can cry Hosanna one moment and then crucify him the next. Huh? So trusting in yourself will not bring you rest, not bring rest for your soul. Trusting in other people will not bring rest for your soul. And then thirdly, watch this, trusting in power or money will not bring rest for your soul. You know the problem with money, it run out. The way my financial makeup is set up, it just seems to dissipate. It just seems to disappear before my very eyes. Anybody else got that problem with money? It just is here one day, gone in the next 20 minutes. Lord, have mercy. Look at verse number 10. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Extortion refers to the abuse of power or authority to benefit yourself at the expense of others. There are many warnings in scriptures not to oppress the poor or the weak.
Stolen goods here refers especially to violent robbery. But any type of theft could be included. The word riches refers to strength, might, and wealth. Tell the truth and shame the devil. How many of y'all feel good when you just got a little money in your pocket? Don't let that tax time come around and you hit right. Folk won't answer their phones. Now you were shopping at Walmart, but now you're in the mall all of a sudden. I'm talking about on social media talking bad, like you own a company or something. Like you're going to get that $4,000 every month. Who said that? Pat, was that Willie? Yeah, get excited over a stimulus check. Do we get a stimulus check? I heard saw something on Facebook. I've been meaning to ask somebody. Did we get a check? Not yet? All right. We standing on his promises, John said. Listen. You ever see them people get excited in February? And by May, you can't find them nowhere. Broke with a whole lot of new stuff on. I'm going to show you something, really. It sounds funny, but I'm making a point. Let me tell you why people act like that. That's what money does. It gives you a false sense of security, right? It makes you feel like you something that you're not. False hope. You see what I'm saying? That's why Paul said, I've been abased and I've been abound. And in other words, he said, I know how to have steak, but I ain't tripping on tuna fish. You know what I'm saying? Because I've been broke and I've had money. I've had things, but in all things, what I have learned to be is content. See, beloved, if I'm content, it don't make no, never mind how much money's in my bank account. If I'm content, it don't make no, never mind what kind of car I drive. If I'm content, it don't make no, never mind if the clothes is name brand or the clothes come from wherever. I'm content because God is my source. God is my provider and not that wealth. Yeah. Yeah, see, and that's the part we got to get to. We got to see, and let me tell you what happens when you're not content. See, here's what happens when you're not content. When you're not content, when you're not doing so well, it makes you not know how to act when things begin to shift. So you mess up a whole lot of good stuff simply because you wasn't content when things wasn't all good, and now that things is all good, you acting like you ain't never had nothing. So we've got to be content. Can I bless the single people? Can I bless the single people? Yeah, I'm picking with y'all a lot. Single people, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. And single means biblically not married. I want to bless you with this one. If you not content while you single, you will make who comes into your life your God. See, you gotta get to the point in your life where you're so content in God that you ain't getting ready to make me do nothing that I don't want to do. You ain't getting ready to force me into a place of the relationship where there needs to be a ring for you to qualify. And let me tell you something. Stop getting excited about getting engaged. Getting engaged is not married. You engaged, aka still single. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you ain't single no more. And you ain't single till when you marry. Until you are married, you are single. So I used to ride around with a whole box of Cupid zirconias, and every time I turned around, I'd give a woman a Cupid zirconia, you know. And baby, don't leave me. You know, I was trying to hold off on this. I didn't want to do it like this, but will you marry me? I'm already married. So watch this, single people. You get excited about the ring when you ought to get excited about the name. You can hold off on that ring. I need your last name to make sure that you are seated. If I'm not content in being single, Lord have mercy. If I'm not content in being single, when somebody does walk into my life, I will play them like God. Yeah.
No relationship should be worth your salvation. No relationship should be worth your relationship with God.
And did you know what? Did you know this? Did you know that God takes it personal when you put somebody before him? He's a jealous God. He takes it personal. Huh? All right, let's get through this.
If your riches increase, David says, do not set your heart on it.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let me ask the question today. Where's your heart at? Where's your heart? And let me tell you something. If it's not where it should be, that's okay if you're going to do something about it. See, it's a good thing when you find out you ain't where you're supposed to be. That's a good thing when you find that out, especially when you sit back and say, I ain't where I'm supposed to be, but I'm going to get there. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. See, sometimes we don't want to do that self-examination because we spooked about what we'll find. And God said, no, baby, I need you to find it so that we can do something about it. You see what I'm saying to you? So David tells us that trusting in these three things will not bring rest for your soul. Trusting in yourself won't do it. You might think you can handle everything, but you cannot. Time will eventually prove that to you. Trusting in others won't do it. I remember when the doctor, Miriam, fell down, just no reason at all. She just fell down, and we was like, let's get her to the hospital. And we took her to the hospital, and the doctor said, they did all these images and scannings and all of this type of stuff. And he came back, and they said, you have MS. And she said this. She said, no, I don't. And they said, no, I'm not. We're not guessing. You have MS. And she says, no, you didn't hear me. No, I don't. The doctor said, you are going to be blind. And she said, no, I'm not. You understand what I'm saying to you? Satan touched her body to where she went blind for a week, where our daughter was leading her around the house to where she could, so she could get around. But she was declaring her sight. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, why are you sharing that with us? Because she could have trusted the letters that's behind his name, your PhD and whatever else, all of those alphabets. You understand what I'm saying to you? But she decided, she made a choice right then that I'm not going to trust man. I'm going to trust God. And the Bible says, whose report shall you believe? The report of man or the report of God? And the report that the Bible says is by his stripes. I dare you clap your hands if you believe the word of God. Trusting in others won't do it. You can't find your rest. You can't find true rest for your soul through other people, whether it's a friend, parent, child, coach, doctor, Sunday school teacher, not even your pastor. You understand? We all eventually let each other down because we all have something in common. We are all human, and we all sinful. We can be sinful. Amen? Yeah. The third thing you found out was trusting in power or wealth won't bring you rest either. Money can sprout wings and fly away. Mine does. And even if it doesn't, there are more important things to get excited about. Don't set your heart on riches, even if they increase. Excuse me. So You cannot find true rest apart from God. Some people try to divide their trust between God and something else, but that doesn't work either. As someone once said, if you've got one foot on a rock and the other in quicksand, you might as well have both feet in quicksand. Put your trust in God alone. So let's make sure you got this, because we're almost done. God's nature is such that we find rest in him. You cannot find true rest apart from God. And then the third truth David brings out for us is this, and I want you to write this one down. Simply knowing these first two truths is not enough. Knowing them is not enough. You must continually apply yourself to finding your true rest in God alone. Listen, this isn't a microwave situation. Let me say that again. Simply knowing these first two truths is not enough. Here's what you should be right now. You must continually apply yourself to finding your true rest in God alone. So let me help you, beloved. Music that does not glorify God won't give you rest. Anybody ever have a bad moment in their relationship and you cut on some slow music? And it might not be no cussing in it. It might not be no, you know, nothing, you know, messed up in it. But you find yourself crying because you're already in a place. And now you listen to this music. You see what I'm saying to you? And you can't get no rest in that. But isn't it funny that you play the song 10 times knowing that every time you play it, it crushes you just a little bit more? Who you think the work of that is? Who you think playing you right there? They even made a song that was lying. Oh, I'm not going to cry, I'm not going to cry, I'm not going to shed it. And I was shedding tears singing. I'm not going to cry. I'm going to shed a tear. This is real. So what am I saying? You have to continually apply yourself to finding true rest in God alone. Huh? When you sing songs like Never Would Have Made It without you. Huh? You're applying his rest to your life. You see what I'm saying? When you start singing, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never, never fail. Huh? That's applying the rest. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so you have to, this isn't something that you just, this ain't a one hit it and quit it. You got to constantly entrench yourselves in the things of God. You've got to read. Listen to me. You've got to read the word, because the word tells you how you come out. Yes, the word tells you how you overcome. The word tells you how you make it over. You got to read the word. And here's what happens when hell begins to hit your life. Even when you're reading the word, you read the word some more. What did he say? I will not be moved. Well, I'm going to tell you this. Until you take on this mindset, you may believe that I'm just being overly extreme or whatever, right? But until you take over this mind, to take on this mindset, you will be a victim. You will be a victim. There's a saying in the street, don't hate the player, hate the game. Jesus. How are you going to be mad at people for just being what they are? You should be mad at yourself when you're not who you're supposed to be.
you not being who you supposed to be. Satan gonna be Satan. Ain't no stopping that. But you ain't got to be, just because he gonna keep being Satan don't mean you gotta be hellish. He got a job to do. We got a job to do. Amen? All right. I'm great finished. Notice how David talks to himself in verse 5. He says, find rest, O my soul. He's talking to his soul, Sonia. Find rest, O my soul. Huh? And here's the hit. When you find and rest, but you keep on coming up with confusion, something ain't right. When you find and rest, but you still can't sleep at night, you looking in the wrong places. When you looking for rest, but you still got a cuss in your spirit because you really that upset, you ain't looking in the right place. You understand? David said, find rest, oh my soul. Huh? He's in a critical place in his life, and he's talking to himself in a way that makes sense. He says, listen, soul of mine, you're going to have to find rest in God alone. He knew the truth from verse 1, but that was not enough. He needed to practice it and apply it to himself. Find rest, oh my soul. So sometimes, have you ever been beat up to the point? Have you ever been broken down to the point? Have you ever been in battle to the point? Have you ever been let down, let go, dogged, disrespected, disgruntled, just jacked up to the point to where you begin to be knocked no lower than your knees, and all you can do is look for rest for your soul? This is why when people break up and go through all types of hell and people die in their life, you find them all of a sudden, when they usually don't, all of a sudden they begin to come to church because they're looking for rest. You see what I'm saying to you? But before they hit the church, they hit the bar. Before they hit the church, they hit some phone number. Before they hit the church, you understand what I'm saying to you? But you got to find God if you want to find rest for your soul. So we're in the same situation as David. We may know these things are true, but we still need to remind ourselves constantly. So how do you do it? Let me share a few ways with you, and we're done. From the psalm that you can apply these truths to yourself. First of all, claim God's promises for yourself. Start making it personal. Claim God's promises for yourself. In other words, when you begin to read things that God said he'll do, he wasn't just talking to the wind. Baby, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. Look at verses 5 through 6 now, and notice how David refers to God not simply as a rock or a refuge, but as my hope, my rock, my salvation, my fortress, my honor, my refuge. David had bought in to the fact that he wasn't somebody else's God, but he was his own. Maybe he's your God too. You understand what I'm saying to you? What good are all the riches in the world if you have no inheritance in them? But you have a rich inheritance in God's promises. David personalizes the promises of God and claims them for himself. And guess what? We need to do the same. Secondly, place your honor in God's hands. Place your honor in God's hands. Place your honor in God's hands. Look at verse 7. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is what? My mighty rock, my refuge. You see that? He understands where his honor belongs, and he understands who his refuge is. Too often we lose our rest because we worry about how others view us. We defend ourselves unnecessarily. I got a saying, character don't need no defense. Character don't need no defense. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so we defend ourselves unnecessarily, and we try to make ourselves look better than others. But if you look at the Psalm 75, verses 6 through 7, it says, no one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt a man,
but it is God who judges. He brings one down and he exalts another. David says to place your honor in God's hands and leave it there. God is the one who exalts a man or brings that man down. Third thing, trust. Oh, this is a good one. Write this one down. Trust in God at all times. We heard that one before, anyway. Trust in God at all times. Look at verse 8. Trust in him at all times, O people. In both the good and bad times, put all your hope and trust in God and never give up. Watch this. Learn to wait on God. Slow down, shorty. You've been moving at a rapid speed for way too long. Slow down. Chill. Learn to wait on God. Fourthly, pour out your heart to the Lord. Pour your heart out to the Lord. Back in verse 8, trust him at all times. O people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. He's our refuge. Pour out your heart to the Lord. There is no problem too big or too small that you cannot bring it to God. Pour out your inmost thoughts. Yeah, there's some of y'all hear me in here. Let me tell you something. Holy Spirit is saying right now, there's some of you in here that this word is so for. He said, pour out your inmost thoughts, desires, sorrows, and sins. We talk too much of our troubles to others and too little to God. It ain't never made sense to me to talk to somebody who ain't doing better than me, who don't get it. If we in the same boat, how much wisdom can we give one another? We in the same boat for a reason. But when I begin to take what it is that I'm going through to the Almighty, to Yahweh, to the one who knows, the one who is sufficient, the one that's got answers to my woes, to my cries. Charles Spurgeon once said, hide nothing from him, for you can hide nothing from him. That's the dope part about God. I can come rap to you because you already know. So if he already knows, why do I need to tell him? That's called faith. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to tell you, even though I know you know, I'm going to trust you because I know it ain't going to be no different between us. You ain't going to play me off. You ain't going to let me go. You ain't going to dog me out. You're going to restore me. You're going to show me my wrong, but you're going to restore me. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so, if you keep grief to yourself, it only becomes a burden too great for you to bear. See, and let me just say this, and I'm saying this to men because a lot of times us men suffer silently. Us men suffer silently. We suffer and we don't talk about it. We suffer and we say we okay. We suffer and we just continue to have the world on our shoulders. But beloved, let me tell you something. The world never belonged on our shoulders. The world never belonged on our shoulders. God never expected us to carry the world on our shoulders. He said, cast it all on him. In fact, he said, cast all your cares, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him because he cares about you. Now let me show you this. I'm trying to stop, but Holy Spirit is dealing with me. So men suffer silently, right? And women are conditioned by grief. They become one with their sorrow. If not careful, and they just walk around acting like sad is what you're supposed to be. My mama wasn't happy.
My grandmama, when I really think about it, she wasn't happy. Auntie, you know who wasn't real happy. So since I've never seen happy, how am I supposed to believe that I have the right to be happy? And so we go back to what we was talking about last week. When we say, you good? Y'all say, I'm good. Huh? Okay. Oh, God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. I don't know why he's in this right now. You hear me? But here's one of the situations that pops off. And so now we have women that walk around and they tell the man, they tell the single man, come on, I'm we going to hook up and that's just that. But it's not really what they mean. The reality is I'm so conditioned to getting done wrong. I dig you. I think you could have been the one. But before you hurt me, I'll just get what I can get from you, get what I know you after, and then we can go on our way. And it really didn't matter nothing to me. But then after they're gone, Lord have mercy, you want to forget. So if it didn't matter, why are you inviting me back for dinner? But to save my face, to save pride, oh, God, I'm talking in here. I just act like it didn't mean nothing when it meant everything. But I've been conditioned to sorrow. I've been conditioned to let down. I've been conditioned to betrayal. I've been conditioned to you not staying around. And so I take it.
Then we, oh, you won't let me go. I'm trying to get out of here. Listen, then we do stuff like we connect to things that will always be around. Weed always be around. Liquor always be around. I can put my trust in this, cause as long as I got whatever it takes to get it, it'll always be there. Lord, have mercy on me. Here's the thing. Here's the fifth one. Write this down. And we're done. No, we're not. We're almost. You ready? You ready? Write this down. Rely on God's word. Verse number 11. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Now, here's the hit. I want y'all to catch this. This word is really for some of you in here today. You can't rely on what you don't know. Huh? You can't rely on what you don't know, so you got to know the word. Well, how do I know the word? Get in the word. Read the word. There's 1,000 different versions. You will catch one. Get in the word. Amen? We can take all the many words of God in the Bible and still call it the word of God, because it is all God's word. God's word is unity, and David relied on the word of God that he had heard. Here's the last one. Y'all ready? Write this down. Look forward to your eternal rest. Verse number 12, which closes the psalm, surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. The word reward here is the Hebrew word for shalom. It's the verb form of shalom, the Jewish word for peace and rest. God will shalom each of his children according to the things they have done for him. God will bless you with peace and rest for our souls. I'm done, but let me ask you something. Where do you seek your rest today? Where do you go for your comfort? If you seek it outside of God, and outside of Jesus Christ, beloved, you will never find it. Saint Augustine prayed a prayer. O Lord, thou hast made us for thyself, and our souls are restless until they find their rest in thee.
He was probably thinking of David, who wrote, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. I will never be shaken." Listen, if you are in the room today and you are tired of being shaken, if you are tired of every time you turn around, you find yourself needing to pick yourself back up again. Beloved, if you know in your heart that you are restless, today, I beseech you, I encourage you to find your rest in God. Let me say this to the young people real quickly. Life is going to try you. Life is going to put you through some things. And every day, it's going to be something else. This week, this is in. This week, this is out. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so if you decide to find your rest in God, the world can be the way it's going to be, but I'm going to find my rest in God. I'm going to put my trust in God. I'm going to rely on God. I'm going to take him at his word. You'll find peace for your souls. You'll find peace in your heart. Everybody is running around trying to catch the next hot thing. But I promise you, beloved, the next hot thing will pass away. The next hot thing will be no more. But God and his word will always last. If we've got anybody in the building today that has not given their lives to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I want to offer you the invitation to come now. If today is the day that you say you want to be saved, you want to give your life to Christ. And let me just go ahead and say this, because Holy Spirit is really nudging me to say this. And it doesn't matter the position that you've held. Right. It doesn't matter what team you are a part of. If you know in your heart that you have not been in the hand of God, don't let shame stop you from walking down here. Don't let embarrassment stop you from walking down here. That's what Satan is banking on. He is banking that no matter how messed up you are, no matter how jacked up he's got you, no matter how crazy he's got you feeling, he is banking that you are too proud. You are too worried about what somebody else will think. You are too scared to stand up and say, "I am giving my life to Jesus. I ain't claiming I'm going to be perfect. I ain't claiming I'm going to have it all together. But what I am saying is that I am a child of God. I am giving my life to Jesus." If you are in the building today, and you know, you are not where you should be in God, we understand that we don't change years overnight, but we've got to start taking some steps. We got to start taking some steps. And I don't know why.